Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give somebody a high five or a handshake or some kind of acknowledgement, an eyebrow, a chair, something. Woo! Jesus! Lord, you're worthy. You're worthy of praise in this house today, Lord. Worthy to be excited about. Oh, hallelujah. Worthy of praise. Worthy of shouting. Hallelujah. Awesome. No mai haramai. No mai haramai. E te tuihini, e ngā whaia, tēnā koutou, e ngā teina, me tuakana, brothers and sisters, and especially the mothers, warm welcome today to our Mother's Day service. Warmly welcome you. Warmly greet you. The Bible tells us in fifth commandment, is it? Honor your mother and father? Is that the fifth commandment? Yeah, okay. That's a good start. It's the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you live a long life. So it's great for us today to particularly honor our mothers. Amen. And if your mother's still alive, make sure you ring her up or text her today and say, Happy Mother's Day, Mum. And I'm speaking to myself, of course, and tell her what a blessing she's been to you over the years. Yeah, and if she's not alive, just thank the Lord for her. Yeah. I want to read you a scripture. Oh, I'm so excited to see a brother here this morning. Yesterday I went out to get some bacon from the countdown, and I saw this brother getting bacon. I thought, that man's got the same idea as me. And then I just sang, I saw a brother yesterday getting bacon. It was you, eh? Yeah. And I thought, that man's got the same idea as me. And we bought some bacon. Anyway, just great to see you, bro. Yeah. Yeah. And anyone else visiting here today this morning? Doug, great to see you, mate. Yeah. Yeah. Every other brother that's visiting here with your family this morning, just want to acknowledge you, yeah, and welcome you here warmly. And, of course, to welcome and acknowledge your mothers. But I've already said that. So I want to read you a verse from Genesis chapter 26. And Jasmine, she might put it up for us in the RSV. Reading from the New King James this morning, Genesis chapter 26 and verse 12. You could bring up the offering, actually, while I'm reading this verse. It says in verse 12 of Genesis 26, Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold. A hundredfold. Yeah, that's good. That's good return, eh? He put one potato in the ground and he got 100 back. That's pretty good. So then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him, and the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. So three times in that verse there, it says he prospered, he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. Now, okay, the context of this passage is there was a famine going on at that time. We would say an economic recession. Interest rates were high. Land property values were going down, construction had stopped, everything was shrinking, and yet the man of God, he still planted, and he reaped a hundredfold, and he prospered, he continued to prosper, and became very prosperous. And I want to pray this blessing on you today, as you sow at this time into the kingdom of God, strategically, I pray that God would make you prosper, that you become very prosperous in the year 2023. That people would look at you and say, how come everything's going good with you? And that you would get jobs, that you get job promotions. Amen? Yeah, and you would prosper. You'd diversify, yeah, into other different things. So I've been hearing some of the testimonies. People getting hit by hard times, but what do they do? God shows them how to diversify into something else. But keep on sowing, and God will bless you today. Okay. In terms of a couple of housekeeping things, announcements, before we dismiss our children to Children's Church, one is that we had planned to do a deliverance workshop this month and open it up to the wider body of Christ. It just doesn't actually feel like the right time to do that. So even though I don't like changing my mind, I've changed my mind. Okay? And so if you had your heart set on May the 20th, a deliverance workshop, just change your mind a bit. And what we're going to do is we're going to focus in on getting all our young people this month booked in for the Breakthrough Conference, which is in the King's Birthday Weekend in Auckland. Thank you, King's Birthday Weekend, yeah. For the last, all my life I've been saying Queen's Birthday, and now I'm saying King's Birthday. And so you can go onto the website there and you'll see that. It's called breakthrough.org.nz, and all on there is all the information about the Breakthrough Camp. But what we're going to do is organise a group booking, and our goal is to take 30 young people from the school and from the church and the community down to Auckland for that weekend. So we will need a couple adults to come with us. Brian and Michelle and John and Linda Tiatua, they're organising 30 from over in Kirikiri area. So there'll be 60 of us all together, but we'll get our own bus so that we don't have to muck around. Go straight there, straight back. All right? So that's basically our notices for this week. God bless you, young people. You can go off to Children's Church. Have a fantastic... Or you can stay, up to you, if you want to. God bless you as you... We've been in the book of Genesis just now, and you might want to turn to there if you wish to this morning. I want to talk about the sacredness of womanhood today, being Mother's Day. And I want us to look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21 as our text. And I believe that one of the things that God's going to do for every woman in the house today is build you up on the inside, remind you of your calling and your destiny in God, break off your mind and your emotions, any limitations that have got around you, and also challenge the brothers about our attitudes towards the sisters, but also to give the brothers some focus on our ministry going forward too as brothers. So it's... Even though the emphasis is on the woman today, brothers, don't fall asleep, because God's got words to speak to you. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 21. And it says, "The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man." Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that your word is something solid. Your word is something that we can take instruction from, and we can be guided by your word today, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, as we look into your word today, I pray that you would give us each revelation and direction and clear ideas in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. So this morning we're talking about the sacredness of woman, and this is the very first place in the scriptures that the word woman is used. If you go into your concordance or your phone and you look up woman in the Bible, you will find that this is the first time woman is mentioned, it's written. And this passage explains some real basic essential differences between man and woman. As you go back in chapter 2 to verse 7, the scriptures say that God formed Adam, the first man, out of the dust. And if we look at that word formed in the Hebrew, which I encourage you to do, go to blueletterbible.org or some there's various tools you can get, and you will see that the word for, we say in English, formed, is this word yetzah. Yetzah. The pronunciation might not be spot on, but that's the Hebrew word. And what it means is to squeeze into shape like a potter. We've all done pottery. We've all had plasticine and Play-Doh. Yeah, and you make things. I won't ask you what you made out of your Play-Doh, but you squeeze it into shape. And that is how God made the first man, Adam. So to all the brothers in the house, I want you to say, I am formed. That's right. I did think we could actually probably get up and do a flex, but that may be pushing it a bit far. I don't know. But we're formed. We're squeezed together, fashioned in that respect. If you've heard Steve Aparana speak about this, and he talks about when he was formed, squeezed together, and then God got the nose and went, just flattened the nose a little bit. Some of us, he went like this. Formed. So we're formed, brothers. But down here in verse 22, it says that he made the woman. The word there is he made, the English word made. And the Hebrew word for made, once again, excuse my pronunciation, bana. Bana, is that right? Well, bana, I don't know. B-A-N-A-H. It means to build, different from the word form. Build in the sense of, so you would use this word if you were talking about building a temple, building a house, you'd say bana. If you were making something out of pottery, you would say yetza, So it's two different kind of concepts. One's formed, one's build, and build is more complicated, more intricate. It talks about architecture and design. Could all the sisters please say in the house, I am built. Yeah, and I did have in my mind pictures of the woman standing up saying, I am built, but you're a bit conservative. So have you ever read the book Song of Solomon? There's some funny things that Solomon says in there, isn't there? One of them, he says things like, your neck is an ivory tower. Imagine telling your wife that, your neck is an ivory tower. And he says to her, your eyes are like the pools of Heshbon. And my favorite one here is, he says, your nose is like the Tower of Lebanon, which looks towards Damascus. And this is meant to be romantic, but, he's talking here about a building, features a building, architecture. Obviously, the Tower of Lebanon must have been some beautiful thing, eh? Obviously, otherwise he wouldn't say, darling, your nose reminds me of the Leaning Tower of Pizza, Nah. So he was talking about, built and design. Or maybe you've heard, for those of you not so much familiar with the Song of Solomon, you may be more familiar with the Song of Commodores. The Song of Commodores. Oh, she's a brick house. She's mighty, mighty, just letting it all hang out. She's a brick house. She's the one, the only one. Built like an Amazon. Come on now, check it down now. 36, 24, 36, oh. Doug knows what I'm talking about. Ivan knows the song, I'm sure. If Monty was here, he'd probably play it for us. Appalling. Yeah, so Adam's response, if we go back into the scripture, so he took the rib, he formed the woman, He brought the woman to the man, and Adam's response was, "Ooh, baby, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Excuse me. Up to this point, we can conclude that Adam, the original creation, had both masculine and feminine qualities in him. He was created in the image of God. He had divine attributes. And then it says the woman was taken out of him. So he called her woman. Or in the Hebrew, he was Ish and she was Isha. Isha means taken out of man. And we could conclude that the feminine attributes of God, the divine feminine attributes of God, were taken out of the man and placed within the Isha, within the woman. Those attributes of God, those parts of the divine nature that we could call feminine, and he placed them in Eve. She shall be called woman, Isha, because she was taken out of man, Ish. Joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Praise the Lord. So the writers of Genesis indicate here that through the covenant of marriage, feminine. But what I really want to be clear about here, and sometimes this is misunderstood in the church, is that you are not incomplete without come one. That, you know, like some people take that verse, the two shall become one. They take it to somehow mean that you're not whole, you're not complete unless you're married. That's false. You are complete in Christ. Whether you're male or whether you're single or married, your completeness is in Christ. Your completeness is not, Allison doesn't make me complete. She complements me. And hopefully I complement her. I bring my masculinity, she brings her femininity. We put it together, we complement each one. Or maybe we complicate, but it's not the complete, the oneness isn't like you were, you know. It's a false idea that you've got to search the world to find that missing part of you. No, that's all false. Your completeness is in Christ, and then the two, you bring your strengths, and he brings his strengths, or vice versa, and you bring them together, and you're stronger together. The scripture tells us that in the book of Ecclesiastes, but it complements you. So we want to get that straight. So we're talking here this morning about the sacredness of the womb man, if I could say that, the womb man. In the Hebrew, it's Ish and Isha. But in English, we say man and woman. And this English word woman actually literally comes from the phrase womb man. Literally, that's where it comes from, womb man. And or the man with a womb. And there's something of the revelation of God in that, because the womb reflects the divinity of God, the creativity of God. If you went back into Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, the very first verse, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And you read through that passage, and you'll see that at the beginning, there was dark, there was tepor, there was a nothingness, there was a void. And in the darkness, the very first thing God said was, "Let there be light." And creation broke our birth force. A universe was born. When he said, "Let there was," it was more than just light, the stars, everything. Creation and the formation of every human being here on the earth, both great and small, it all starts in the womb, in the darkness. As Psalm 139 talks about it, we'll dip into that later. So in that respect, the woman has a similar attribute to creation, similar attribute to God, in the sense that God created something in the darkness. Something is created inside the womb of the woman. Hallelujah. There's a not to say that the woman is like God, and instead of elevating the woman to godhood, but to say there's a sacredness, there's a divine principle of creativity right there in the womb. And it's the only way you get into this planet, legitimately. Every human being, every creature comes through the womb. Every single one of us, great and small. In the creation, the Spirit of God hovered over the darkness, over the deep. God spoke and he said, let there be light. And it's in the same way, if you read into the book of Luke, when Mary, right? The virgin womb. And in the darkness of her virgin womb, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit hovered over her and God spoke and conception occurred in her womb. And that divine word of God became flesh, became a human being. That's the same principle of Genesis chapter 1 there. When you can look this up on the internet, ask Google, ask Siri, and you will see now with the amazing ability of cameras and things, when an egg and a sperm come together, there is literally a flash of light. Who's seen that? Yeah, you can get on there, have a look on YouTube. They've got these, it's amazing, like the sperm and the egg, boom, all these lights. It's incredible. And the same, so what we've got almost like a mini kind of a reflection of God going on right in there. We're talking here about the sacredness of womanhood. That's the context of that. Miraculous. So the ability to conceive, the ability to sustain life, the ability to give birth into the world and to nurture at the breast is only given to woman. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. You guys look a little bit bored. Now, this is a big deal. It's incredible. The womb, therefore, is a sacred place. Te whare tangata, our Māori brothers and sisters would recognize that term. A friend of mine, actually Doug's niece, Lorinda, she's done this beautiful write-up on Facebook recently, and she uses this phrase, he tapu tēne whare tangata, the sacredness of the womb. And whether your womb has given birth or not today, I want to say that you are sacred as a woman. Sacred as a woman. All the men are saying yes. You're sacred as a woman. All these sisters, there's a divine spark, a divine essence of the Holy God inside of you and that creative ability that God has given you. So being a woman is more than just a feeling. Being a woman is more than just an idea or a social construct or something like that. It's divine in its origin. It comes from God. It's divine. Psalm 139, verse 13 says that God formed you, formed your inward parts when you were in your mother's womb. And then when we go down in verse 15, it says that in your mother's womb, you were intricately woven together. I looked this up in the Hebrew, this phrase intricately woven, and it's like needlework, stitched together. And we know now because of science that there's two sets of DNA. They look like a spiral staircase, and they come together in a helix, one from your father, one from your mother. And in the context of a woman, we get an X chromosome, and another X chromosome, and they come together, they're woven together, and an XX chromosome makes you a woman. Womanhood is written in every single, to the sisters here this morning, womanhood is written in every single cell of your body. 100 years from now, when you're dead and buried in the grave, if we dig you up, even if there was no stone over your grave, and we dug you up, and we tested your bones, we would know that you were a woman. It's written in the cell, in the very fabric of who you are. We could pluck a hair off your head, test it, XX, oh, she's a woman. Piece of dandruff, every single part of you, your toenails, woman. If we test a woman, down to the very essence of who you are. So I want to say this. Putting a pretty dress on doesn't make you a woman, even if it's a pink one. Hannah was showing me her dresses. Did you make it, Hannah? Did you make that dress? Okay. She was so proud of it this morning. She showed me her dress. What do you think of my dress? I said, it's very pink. It's a beautiful dress. But putting a pretty dress on doesn't make you a woman. You could be dressed in overalls this morning, covered in head to toe with cow muck, big gumboots on your feet, yet still be a woman. Putting makeup, making up your face. Well, there was the eyelashes. Heck, some of my nieces and grandchildren, they wear their eyelashes. I have to stand back about 3 feet. I think if they turn around, they might poke me in the eye. There was a girl up at Countdown, her eyelashes were so big. I thought, man, we need that plastic, that screen up there, you know. But putting the eyelashes on doesn't make you a woman. Yeah, putting the makeup on doesn't make you a woman. All these kind of things, that is not what makes you a woman. It's written in your DNA. It's written in your cells. You can't change it. You can't alter it. Whether you feel like one, whether you're a girly one or a tomboy, if you like playing with trucks, if you like playing with Barbie dolls, it's irrelevant. Down in the very core is the fact that God has designed you in your mother's womb to be a woman. And we're not downgrading anybody that is confused about these things. We love you. We appreciate you. We'll walk with you on your journey. But what we are making it really, really clear here from the Word of God of who a woman is, what a woman is, and what a man is. Jesus, he's our final author, if you like, or final source of truth. He said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4, have you not read that he who made them from the beginning made them male and female? That's our God. So rejoice in your womanhood. We honor your womanhood, your sacred womanhood.